Hey, we are back. We're doing another episode of Trail Talk. We're out with Chris Gatlin. We are we're on the maze. I've been out here doing this quite a bit, and I haven't done any episodes on the maze. But Chris reached out to me. He's in the area, and he's from back east. We're going to talk side-by-sides back east and versus side-by-sides out west and some other stuff. As always, thanks to Cardo for letting us communicate, and thanks to Onyx. You can drop down, and you can follow along with where we're at. So, anyways, Chris,
oh, yeah.
Thanks for reaching out, dude.
Good meeting you, buddy. Yeah. Glad short notice worked out for you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I was planning on doing like a bunch of media day today anyways. I have been out here since 6 recording stuff. And you're like, hey, can we do it? And I was like, well, I'll be there. Let's do it. I was just trying to figure out the timing. So you're from Missouri. We're originally from back east. We talked a little bit before.
Yeah.
And right now we're on... Two-wheel drive is what we're on.
Yeah, you might need four-wheel for this one.
Yeah. For those listening, just on the podcast, we are doing this in a side-by-side, on a trail, and when you forget four-wheel drive, it doesn't go so well. But I was going to say, you guys don't have much sandstone out where you're from. It's kind of a whole different animal.
No. So based out of Missouri, basically on the Missouri, Arkansas, and Oklahoma border. So it's kind of like right there in the middle of all three. We got a lot of different terrain is all I can say. Like, for instance, Disney, Oklahoma, we just had the big meat run. That is the most sand hollow or Utah like terrain. No sand, okay. Of course, but the rock will like surprise you. Sometimes it'll give you a whole lot of traction. Sometimes it'll feel like you're on ice and you just really don't know until you're there doing it.
Until you've got tire on it.
Yeah, and it changes. I would say it changes day to day, which it does, but it also changes depending on if it's shaded or not. Or
oh, really?
It's cloudy. Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, and also that's... So it's a big kind of recreational area where it's just a riverbed. So if they open the dams up for a long time, a lot of the lake stuff, like, you know, the rocks get slimy from fish. And
oh, okay. Just things. Like the stuff in the water. Not, I was thinking just the
exactly.
Water.
Exactly. So but. If it rains a lot and then you go out there, it's really slippery. So it's just, it's always changing out there.
Yeah. Do the, does the rocks out there, does it hold on to the moisture? So we're on sandstone and it like, it's pretty grippy. Like, let's be honest, it's super grippy no matter what. But
yeah.
When they get moisture in it, it'll hold on to it for like 2 or 3 days out here, and you'll be like, it's like, oh, I could have made this yesterday. It's been dry for 2 days, but the sandstone is still holding that little bit of water, and it's just things don't climb the way they did before. Is it similar?
Yeah, it's very similar, but usually it has to be 100 degrees for like 5 days in a row for the rock to dry out, and that's when we really get traction like this. But for the most part, it's always slippery.
So it's similar, but the slippery is more of the baseline than the dry, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the popular saying, it's slippery, or it's the same but different. You know,
yeah, same,
but slippery, but in a different way.
Yeah. So
you know, some days you could land wide open and not have to worry about anything breaking all day, and then some days you can't dream of doing it. It's just, you just have to kind of feel it out. And then you know, like, okay, today's going to be a lot, really expensive, cost a lot of money. Or
you just call your accountant right then. You're like, hey, so just so you know, this is going to be a rough one.
Call the sponsors, be like, hey, I know this axle's brand new, but don't be surprised if I send it back next week, you know?
Yeah. Is that breakage, do you break less when it's slick? Is there a differentiator there?
I don't know. I mean, I hit every hill, there's a 50-50 shot.
Okay.
You know, there's a 50-50 chance, whether it's dry or wet. You never know what's going to happen. Usually when you land and you're landing half to three-quarter to full throttle, you're, you know, basically rolling the dice. You're just like, okay, let's see what happens. You know, and when you land and all four are spinning and you stay in it, it's like, okay, it didn't break. Now let's see if we can make the hill.
Yeah, you know, so that's where my question was. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
No, you're good. What's the question?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I feel like if there's more traction, you're more prone to, like you say, you land, because for those that don't watch, back east, there is a there's a lot of airtime for rock crawling, in my opinion. So when you land all four and you have that, like, bite immediately, I would imagine that that's much rougher on, like, you know, drivetrain, suspension, stuff like that. Whereas if you land and you're spinning, it's like, well, you're not, you don't have that shock load, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and all that, you know, it's rough on the equipment and stuff like that, but it comes down to, like, physics. Like, my dad was really big into monster trucks when I grew up, and actually my dad's buddy was the Jersey Outlaw monster truck, which some might know if they were back, like, 80s, 90s monster truck days. But
okay,
so going completely away from side by sides, I'm gonna talk about monster trucks. When you land,
no, you're fine.
If you land all four tires, all your kinetic energy kind of stops in a way, and that's way harder on the driver. So they would always try to land, like, back tires first, front tires, preferably back tires first. So that's the same thing that I think of when I'm, you know, gonna go up, like, this rock wall, for an instance. We have videos on my channel of us hitting this. And the only person that didn't make it was Levi Evans in the four-seater. And he would literally launch his front tires up and just hold to the floor, riding a wheelie into that wall. And he couldn't make it up and over that.
I was going to say, that one's, the breakover angle on that is insane.
It
for a four-seater, it's really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. My buddy Levi Hastings actually made it his four-seater. But I think it was just luck of the draw. He just popped the front end up, held it to the floor like he was going to cartwheel it forwards, and it got him up and over that thing.
That's wild.
So, yeah.
But,
and that's really what it is. It's all about, like, East Coast is all about momentum. If you don't understand momentum or carrying speed at the right times and letting out and getting into it, it's one of those you just got to kind of learn how to do. And be honest, a lot of dirt bike experience comes from it, because you learn, you know, how to go up something, letting out, applying the clutch when you need to. It's a pretty similar concept.
Yeah, that's the momentum thing is huge. Sorry, I've made the world's longest circle to try and come over to this Can-Am Hill. I don't know why
Can-Am
it's called
Hill.
I don't know why it's called that, but it is.
Well, I think it was Brayden Dalton that told me that there was a Can-Am that couldn't climb it, so they named it Can-Am. And I don't know. I mean, I had no problems with it.
Yeah. But I think I was going to say that momentum piece is really kind of a big piece. And even, I mean, there's a little bit of it right there. It's not as much as back east, but, like, knowing, like, feeling where your tires are with traction, feeling where, you know, am I actually making forward progress, stuff like that. If you just spend all your time on the rocks, like, out here, it can be really difficult to kind of grasp that concept of, like, oh, there might be tire slip, like, and then I have to learn to drive through the tire slip. Whereas you all, that's, like, it seems to me like that's all you guys have with how wet it is.
So, well, you know, Can-Am Hill, you just went up that on stock Coyote tires.
These are not stock. They're actually 35s, but they are, like, stock compound,
but
you know,
ITB
not stickies.
Coyotes, not
yes, sir.
Stickies.
Nope.
So in order to do that hill, if you could do it back home.
What's that?
I said, if you could do that hill, back at home,
yeah,
you would have to literally hit that wide open and low from about 15 feet back.
Really?
And you'd be spinning wide open all the way at the top.
Nice. So I just hit that hill, like you said, on non-sticky tires. So they're pretty, I don't know what the durometer is, but it's not down in the 40s, I'll tell you that. And you were saying anything back east, that would be essentially a jump. Like, you
that's
just have
a
to
jump.
Launch
yeah.
into
that,
it.
That's a, if you don't make it, back up another 10 feet and hope you land at the top. Like, jump it, land at the top.
That is so wild. And that's just so far removed from, like, back here or back where we're at right now, where it's like this wall right here, you're going to see we come up. And I'm not at all going to be, like, throwing the throttle. It's just a matter of...
Yeah.
See?
You're also on three wheels. You're lifting the tire right there.
For sure. But it wasn't like I had to get a running start to do something like that.
No. And we love riding out here just because of that. Because we can actually... The things we do or the mindset we have or I don't know what you want to call it, but the way we ride, we can come out here and hit some of the hardest stuff. And really, we only have to hit it half the amount or half the effort, use half the effort to hit that obstacle.
I was going to say, does it feel like, you know how athletes that train in Denver, like they go play on, you know, sea level and they're like, oh, this is a lot easier. Is that how it feels?
I can breathe. Yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah. But the biggest thing coming out here is you got to remember the traction. So, like, sometimes you get in a situation where you're kind of, like, got that, you know, oh, crap moment. And you forget, hey, there's too much traction to just hold to the floorboard and you'll explode something, you know?
Yeah. So. You guys, well, you were telling me on earlier, you were doing... one wheel in it on the way home. Oh, we got someone down here on the trail.
Yeah, he's backing up.
That's all good. But you were saying how you were coming back when one wheel drive down the dunes from your last trip out here.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself just... It seems to me like what I'm getting out of this is that you guys just break shit a lot. Is
we
that accurate?
Break as much as people think, but yeah, we do.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, usually, so I'm running, I got a few sponsors on axles. I got King Cobra and Turner Cycles, both from Texas. Okay. In my opinion, those are the strongest axles you can get. We haven't been proven otherwise.
Okay.
So I run the strongest axles I can get. Since our last trip I had Assault and Rhino axles, and... With a full spool front diff and a Can-Am, they weren't able to handle the turning radius or the turning CV angle. So I was breaking front axles. For whatever reason, they lasted till the last day. And I could not keep a CV axle in my machine. So I don't know. Right now, like, I'm in the predicament of I actually have to buy a new differential that's out. It has a Dana 35 ring and pinion.
What? For real? For in a Can-Am housing?
No. It's so the Dana 35 is a pretty large ring gear.
I was trying to figure that out in my head.
It's completely aftermarket. It's actually a company called Proformance out of Australia is making them. And that's actually what I'm having to go to now because I've broken the differential I'm running now twice. I actually break the whole casing in half.
Oh, really?
Because the axles are so strong now, and I have an RCV drive shaft, I can't seem to break an axle anymore, and I'm not breaking any drive shafts. Now I break the differential in half.
And, yeah, that's seems like that's more expensive to continue to do.
Well, luckily, you know, the Can-Am crew has come out with a thing called the Smart Spool, which is what I keep breaking. And it's not their fault. It's just the stock housing can't withstand the force of, you know, the pressure I'm putting it on, which I'm also on 37-inch tires.
Okay. You know. Do you have, like, a gear reduction on that, too? Or I'm unfortunately, like, a little bit more Polaris-centric, so I don't know. Like, or are you on portals? Like, how are you handling?
I would say, I would say 75% of my fan base is really Razor oriented, but
okay.
So they, you know, I'm actually not gear reducted, but I plan on doing 30% just for the hell of it.
Okay.
But no, I'm on stock gearing. I just switched to Ibex clutching.
Okay.
Huge shout out to them, Trevor, for hooking me up with a clutch kit, and that has awakened my machine a whole lot. Like from a dead stop on pavement, I can, you know, just go for off idle and smack the throttle and it pulls the front wheels off the ground.
Okay. And you're in a two-seater too, right?
Two-seat Can-Am X3, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do the math and like, okay, how's this working? Because like these, if you go to 37s on factory and you do anything more than just moseying around, like, it's Belt Smoke City.
Even 35s, it's hard to drive one of these around. Well, the Pro XP, I think, is a little bit better, but like a Turbo S, you don't have gear reduction, man. It's miserable.
Yeah, they're like, you better like the smell of Belt Smoke.
And you better like the jerking motion afterwards. Cause,
yeah, the chatter.
Yeah, it's never going to take all smooth ever again.
No, so that's wild. So you don't have anything currently, and you're just running 37s. Did you feel, when you went to the Ibex clutching, was that like night and day difference? Or was it just like, oh, this is a little smoother?
It was, I wouldn't call it a night and day difference. I would call it a, like, mid-range to high range, or mid-RPM to high RPM difference. Like, that was night and day. As far as, like, the low speed kind of crawling like that, like we're doing now, didn't really notice that big of a difference, to be honest. But the, you know, back home, we're landing on throttle, and we're trying to get as much wheel speed as we can. And the 37s definitely killed my wheel speed, you know, on the hills. You know, spinning out, all that.
Well, they're not even just heavier. They're also, you have that bigger diameter to turn. It's just, it's wild to me. If you go look at, like, for example, this, if you look at the factory Rampage tires, they're like 38 pounds-ish. Yeah. And if you go to anything 35, it's like 50 plus. It's like almost 40% more for 2 inches overall. You know what I mean?
Honestly, the 37 doesn't measure a true 37 anyhow.
Well, these don't either.
it's only like an inch taller than a 35-inch Rockzilla.
Yeah.
You know? And you also have to go to a 17-inch wheel, which, you know, Metal FX is a sponsor of the channel, and they hooked me up with a set of 17s. But honestly, if I didn't have money invested, because even though I did get, you know, a discount, heavy, heavy discount from them, you know, I still financially invested in the wheels. And if I didn't have the 17s, I'd just go back to 35s, really.
Really? Is the 37s, like, why is that? You just don't feel like they provide enough clearance? That 1 inch isn't enough to overcome the, like you say, okay, well, now I have less wheel speed. Basically, the pros just don't outweigh the cons to go to 37?
I've always been on 35s, so I can't really give you an honest, like, 32 to 35 comparison, but...
So I'm talking 35 to 37.
I know.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So I'm going to wrap that into that. So
okay,
35s to 37s, I noticed a pretty drastic difference in, like I said, the mid to high range, or mid to high RPM. That one right there, whole shot, that's the one that my buddy Levi rolled off of. Actually,
this guy right here. We'll switch over so everybody can see it.
Yep. That's actually the most popular video I have of here from our last trip.
Oh, yeah, dude. People love seeing people break their shit.
Oh, yeah. And we're good for that. And then actually, the rocks to the left, those were the rocks we were sticking the A-arm into to try and straighten it out. Well,
really? Up here on the hill?
Yeah. Yeah, those rocks right there straight ahead of us. This GoPro could probably... looking right at them. So all those little holes right there and everything, we were sticking the ball joint in there and winching on it. It was a comedy show. You know,
that seems crazy.
Yeah, like that big trough right there, we were pulling down and sideways, and we ended up breaking it in half, having to stick a ratchet in one side of the tube and hammer it into the other side because we broke the A-arm in half because we winched it too many times.
Nice.
But, yeah. Yeah, but the 37s are just, they're a little heavy. You really feel the mass of them. And out here, I love them. Same with, like, there's one off-road park in Tennessee called Adventure Off-Road Park. And it's notoriously known as a bouncer-only park because it just has rocks like this with no traction. So you got to go up that ledge with no traction whatsoever. And they did really good out there.
Just when you get the extra bite, the clearance is worth it. But when you have to... Yeah, it seems like when you have to go wheel speed, it's like, okay, well, this doesn't really help.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're having to hold it wide open and, you know, you're bouncing off the tree to your left, tree to your right to try and get forward momentum, that's when they start hurting you, and they just don't have the there's just so much mass there. You can really feel it on such a, you know, small vehicle like a side-by-side.
Yeah. I want to keep talking. I want to ask you about, like, Jeeps and stuff since we're up here. I had to take a bypass because we got some Jeeps up on the trail in front of us. And we'll actually, I'll have to ask them if I can play through here. Can we play through? we'll jump back into this in a second.
Okay.
Well, they'll move. Yeah, that's one of the things about, like, oh, I'm doing this on trail. Like, well, we deal with people on trail. So
Especially on a weekend.
And where Utah County has all their spring break right now. But what I was going to say is I want to talk to you about the Jeeps and stuff and how they're involved. But you mentioned the trees. We were talking earlier, and you were telling me that, like, part of your battle plan for, like, attacking a hill is, like, okay, when it all goes south, which tree am I pointing at? Where am I going with this?
Yeah.
Which to me is wild because, well, you can explain it. Like, what kind of tree do you look for to hit?
So, you know, back home, kind of the rest of the country besides here, to be honest, where
that's
we ride,
fair.
We have lots of trees, usually. And I definitely will, when I scout a hill out, I'm looking at the rock. I look left and I look right and I'm looking at the trees. So, like, if I have a 12-inch round tree, like a, you know, I would say a fully grown tree that's been there a long time, I want to avoid that at all costs because that's the same as a rock. That's going to, you know, jar the crap out of you, hurt you, bend your cage. I'm looking for, like, a group of trees 6 inches around. A group of trees that are about 6 inches around per tree. Because they will actually bend and kind of catch you like a trampoline, canopy, whatever you want to call it. And, so when we're at home, things are going south, which I would say sometimes 50% of the times they don't go very good. And you know you're rolling, and it's better to go off trail than to stay on trail and tumble. So I'm definitely aiming for as many trees as I can find that are relatively small to kind of catch me. And yeah, recovering a side-by-side that's laying in the air suspended by trees is a pretty interesting situation.
Yeah, I'm still just so fast. I've never in a million years would I have thought, like, okay, I'm going off trail and I'm, like, sizing up. Which tree do I want to end in? Because I need it to hold me, but not, like, slam.
Even in this situation right here, if I went off this rock and I was pointed that way, and I'm on two wheels, I'm going to turn right and floor it, and hopefully my door hits that tree and sets me back down.
Yeah, and that's the perfect, that's like you said, that's about 6 inches, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your tree.
That tree will give probably, I would say it would give about a foot, and it'll keep me from tumbling. It'll slow me down at the same time, and I'll land on two wheels and drive out of it. And, you know, a tree might not like its life after that, but hey, it saved me, so that's what I care about.
There you go. Did to circle back to what I was wanting to bring up before, do you guys, so back east, you have these off-road parks. It's not like it is out west, where it's just like we have a lot of BLM, public land, stuff like that. Do you guys end up sharing those off-road parks with, like, full-size vehicles, ATVs, dirt bikes? Is it basically, if it's off-road, it's there type of thing? Or
yeah, pretty well. I mean, it's a lot of, like, legitimate businesses.
Okay.
So you
you pay a fee.
It's their land. You pay a fee to go ride on their land, and they have rules and everything. But a lot of the places actually don't allow ATVs or dirt bikes.
Really? Why is that?
Just insurance reasons, and people get hurt so much. So, like, Disney, Oklahoma, I brought up that big meat run that we just had. We had four people that literally got lifelighted out on ATVs, and I think only one person on a side-by-side. It's just out there with lack of traction and all that. You're way more possible getting hurt on an ATV and dirt bike.
Yeah, there's no cage to save you or anything.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. I didn't know they had rules like that. I kind of thought it was just like come one, come all for those types of parks.
The type of parks I go to, no. You know, there is parks where it's, you know, ATVs and stuff like that are allowed for sure. But the places I go, which are more like the Rock Bouncer or I would call the fully built Jeeps, like a few of them back there,
yeah,
are moon buggies.
Yep.
Which we don't see a lot of moon buggies out there, but just using it for a, you know,
reference.
Popular reference around here. A lot of those places won't allow dirt bikes and stuff like that. You'll see some dirt bikes come out, but you only see the hardcore dirt bike guys. You won't see like a guy and his kids.
Yeah, it's like we're here to party.
Yeah,
maybe party's not the right word, but people that are committed to it type of thing.
Yeah, we're here to either, you know, show out or go home. That's pretty much it, you know.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about, because for those that don't know, Chris is the owner of Side by Side Addicts. No, I'm sorry, Skinny Pedal Addicts. I totally borked that. I saved it. Sorry. how'd you get started with that? My voice just cracks. Awesome.
I think mine's cracking as well. Well, it started out, we always rode pretty hard. Granted, we ride a lot harder than we do now. Or we ride a lot harder than we did back then. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was like, dang, you guys calm down. It doesn't seem like it, but well, okay.
Yeah, debatable. But I think we just had more wrecks now, so we know more of like what's going to happen if we don't make it. Where the old days, we were just, you know, nothing ever bad really happened.
But yeah.
It just started out as, you know, we'd go up a bunch of hills and people would have their phones out and they would say, or we would run up to them after we go up the hill or if we don't make the hill. And we say, hey, you got a video of that? And they all put their phone down, be like, nope, didn't get it. And it's like, well, did you forget to hit record? Like, I hit it 3 times and you had your phone there the whole time. So kind of got a little irritated with that. Like, I don't know if it was people that just, you know, really didn't capture it or they just didn't want to give the video out. I don't know, but I kind of got a little fed up with it. So I just started recording my buddies and then finally got one of them talked into recording me. And then once I kind of got, you know, one person that would constantly record, I was like, I'm going to make a YouTube video. And my whole thought process was the YouTube was I didn't have enough storage space to store all these videos. So I'm going to upload them on YouTube. That way I can go and rewatch them later when I'm, you know, working long hours and feeling like, man, I wish I could just go ride. I can kind of relive the ride that we did and all the good times. And
you're essentially using YouTube as Google's cloud storage for your videos.
It was free. Yeah. I mean, all I had to do was just make an account and sign up. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, there's a lot of people that ride. There's a lot of people that ride like we do in the Kansas City area, Oklahoma, Arkansas. So, I started making videos here and there and I got some positive review on it. And I was like, okay, that's sweet. I'm glad you guys enjoy it too. Like, wasn't really intending to make something of it. And then, I guess long story short is, my Can-Am is widely known now, apparently, as farm use. So I started making videos, and then they started taking off, and I put a farm use plate on the back just because I was bored one day, and everybody loves it. So now it's known as the Farm Use X3, and a lot of my followers don't even really know my name up until last year. They just call me Farm Use.
Well, so, that's kind of good to have that like kind of brand like solidified, though, to be honest.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's kind of been an interesting roller coaster of like I just started uploading so I can free space up on my phone and then people started liking it and then I actually one day it built a lot of courage. I actually took the camera and went, "What's up guys? Welcome to Skinny Pedal Addicts." And that was a huge like milestone for me personally. And now it's normal. Like it's normal for me to talk into the camera and pretend like I'm, you know, have a whole audience in front of me now.
Dude, you know? I know exactly what you're talking about. It's if you haven't done it, you don't realize like it's so nerve wracking to be like, this is me. You can ask you, Derek and Monica, you guys know, we were out filming at the shoot, and it took me like the first time I like really started to put the camera on me and like figure it out. I paced back and forth for like 10 minutes, like, okay, we can do it. We got it. And then like, you turn the camera and you're like, all right, we're doing it. Let's go.
And then it takes you like 10 minutes to do one intro because you're like, you're staring at the camera, trying not to panic, and then you forget what you're going to say, and then you have to, all right, let me gather my thoughts and everything, turn it back around. Nope.
Forgot again.
Third time's a charm. Let's just, whatever happens, happens, you know, let's just post it anyhow, if it goes or not.
Yeah.
So,
that's awesome, man.
I feel bad because a lot of the people will watch the videos and feel like they know me personally.
Yeah.
And then they come up to you and then they say, hey, man, you know me, right? I'm like, yeah.
No, not at all.
I can't look through the screen. I can't look through the screen you're watching to see you and know you. And that's like the worst part for me is when people come up and I don't know who they are. And I'm just like, man, I wish like I'll, you know, I try to memorize people's side by sides. Cause at least I can be like, oh yeah, you got that, you know, red, white and blue razor or something. But yeah, it's, that's the biggest hurdle for me. It's still to get over to this day.
Just a little bit of like you say, people, you put so much stuff out there that like people feel like they can relate to you. And, but then like, it's like you say, it's like, you don't even know, but it is just a one way transmission. Right.
Yeah.
So they've got like all this info about you or, and you, they know your personality or whatever. And then they're like, oh yeah. Hey. And you're like, what? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. It's the most bizarre thing that is normal for anybody that kind of does social media and has themselves as a main character in it, I would say, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, we just wrapped up the maze. I learned a lot of stuff about East Coast. Obviously, Skinny Pedal Addicts, where else can people find you?
So Skinny Pedal Addicts on all social media. We also are starting our own podcast, which I'm hopefully doing a couple today and tomorrow. Nice. That's called Don't Lift Podcast.
Okay.
Pretty normal for us, you know.
Yeah, Don't that lift, checks out.
So, but that's on the main channel. I didn't start another channel or anything. I'm just trying to keep everything centralized on the one channel for everybody to find it. And also, if anybody's in the Oklahoma area or interested in learning about Oklahoma, Disney Oklahoma, I have a Facebook group. I think we just hit 35,000 people on that group as well.
What's it called?
Disney Oklahoma Off-Road. So it's basically a Facebook page. Disney is an island, so it's connected by two dams. So it's just a Facebook page for Disney Island and the off-roading area. So a part of it. It's very similar to Sand Hollow, just not anywhere near as big.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming out. It's been awesome.
Yeah, appreciate it.